Welcome to the Divided Kingdom Cutting Edge Radio Program. It's April 8th, 2021. You can hear Elizabeth Cupid Cavalli and me, Lou Cavalli, Mr. and Mrs. America from Flyover Country on WWCR, the Liberty Works Radio Network, Global Star Communications Network, and KStarTalkRadio.com. You can visit our website at DividedKingdomRadio.com. Many of you radio friends have been riveted and also appalled by our last two broadcasts. Are we living in Matthew 24, parts 1 and 2?
And Lou, tonight's expose continues how the satanic darkness is moving over faster to poison our lives and our families. We've talked about judgment coming to the church house first in some of our past programs. Be sure to go to our listening archives at DividedKingdomRadio.com to hear the informative programs for March 4th, 11th, 18th, and 25th. Again, that's DividedKingdomRadio.com. We hope that you will tell your friends and your family, because the times are getting so wicked, their lives are endangered. Our April 1st broadcast was the most hard-hitting of all, about Satan and his devils. Most shocking is that a number of prominent Christian religious leaders promote using COVID vaccines derived from aborted fetal cell lines. Tonight, we start by examining a couple examples of cultural change and indoctrination into pure evil. Hallmark is in the vanguard with its LGBTQ 2000 Christmas movies. Woman's Day and other women's magazines once were a wholesome source for Christians and conservative women in America and elsewhere. In the last few years, pharmaceutical ads have overrun them, and a few of these magazines have even published pro-euthanasia stories. In fact, listeners, I wrote to one editor, and since that time I haven't seen anything like that in that magazine. I'm happy. But on our April 1st broadcast, we reported on rapper Lil Nas X's new Satan shoe. And, of course, this so-called shoe has a drop of allegedly human blood in the sole. And, of course, we think there's like a pun there, sole, S-O-L-E, but it really means in the S-O-U-L. In our faces, we're all to adopt this hideous thing. And now we also heard ABC News was extolling this type of thing. Maybe you'll hear a little more later about that. Woman's Day, always, the magazine, always featured a Bible verse near the beginning of the magazine. Now, instead, actress Candace Cameron Bure, who calls herself, quote, your chief spiritual officer, end of quote, has a page with a Bible verse and her commentary. April's page does quote 2 Corinthians 5:17. Sin is not mentioned, only watered-down issues such as yelling at your kids and needing to ask forgiveness. Why would any professing Christian, such as Bure, remain working there at the Hallmark Channel?
One would think if one were a Christian who believed the Bible is God's word, the person could not be part of any entertainment LGBTQ agenda. The children are the ones that suffer most from this cultural contamination. Remember how last week we reported on the little Nas X and his new shoe creation. And as Elizabeth has said, it allegedly holds a drop of human blood in the sole of each of those shoes. The New World Order planners and Satan have both long wanted to destroy the family. Satan wants to kill and destroy. So for our first offering tonight, we go to LifeSite News. The title, this is Social Engineering. Gallup finds huge jump in young Americans identifying as LGBT.
And before you do that, Lou, do you happen to have that little note about the exact quote of ABC News, what it said whenever it was extolling that shoe of the rapper with the drop of blood in it? It said something to the effect that this was sort of inspirational to all of us.
I don't have the exact quote, but yes, I think one of the words used was inspirational.
Can we really believe we're living in this time? Are we living in Matthew 24? And now to this terrible transgender type of mutilation policy that's being pushed on bare children.
This was published, as I said, on LifeSite News, February 26, 2021, written by Calvin Freeberger. The percentage of American adults identifying themselves as LGBT has risen to 5.6%, with a shift largely driven by young people, according to a Gallup survey released Wednesday. The overall 5.6% number is an increase from Gallup's findings of 4.5% in 2017, says the report, which is based on more than 15,000 interviews. But the most dramatic LGBT self-identification numbers come from young people. 15.9% of Generation Z, born from 1997 to 2002, 9.1% of millennials, born from 1981 to 1996. By contrast, just 3.8% of Generation X, born from 1965 to 1980, and 2% of baby boomers born from 1946 to 64, and 1.3% of those born before 1946 identify as LGBT. More than half of LGBT adults identify as bisexual, while a quarter identify as gay. Almost 12% is lesbian, and just over 11% is transgender. Daily Wire pundit Matt Walsh attributes the numbers not to natural changes, a more accurate reflection of what the numbers were all along, but rather to cultural indoctrination from America's leading media and educational institutions. The number of kids who identify as LGBT, especially trans and bisexual, has absolutely skyrocketed. If you think this is a natural or organic development, you're deluded. The media, Hollywood, and the school system actively recruit children into the LGBT ranks. Says Matt Walsh, in our culture, the LGBT lobby poses the greatest threat to our children, especially the Tea Party. This theory is consistent with research into the phenomenon of rapid-onset gender dysphoria, ROGD, a term coined in 2018 by Brown University behavioral scientist Lisa Littman. According to research led by Littman and published that year in the Public Library of Sciences Journal, or PLOS 1, 87% of the teens reviewed via questionnaires to 256 parents belong to a friend group characterized by some degree of social influence on gender, such as other gender-confused teens, and that 63% of the teens had been diagnosed with at least one mental health disorder or neurodevelopmental disability before deciding they were a different gender. And now, from Big League Politics, dated February 25th, 2021, by Evan James, transgender HHS nominee refuses to say that minors shouldn't override parents and make their own decisions about transitioning. At Thursday's Senate confirmation hearings, Senator Rand Paul confronted Rachel Levine, a transgender doctor and Biden's assistant HHS secretary nominee, asking if she supports minors overriding their parents and transitioning to the opposite sex. Said Senator Paul, do you support the government intervening to override the parents' consent to give a child puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and or amputation surgery of breasts and genitalia? Paul asked. You have said that you're willing to accelerate the protocols for, quote, street kids, unquote. I'm alarmed that poor kids with no parents who are homeless and distraught, you would just go through with this and allow that to happen to a minor, unquote. Paul then brought up Kira Bell, a biological female who started transitioning to a male at 16 years old and now deeply regrets her decision. Bell recently won a court case that accused the Tavistock Center in London of rushing her transition without proper guidance. Paul says he hoped Levine, quote, would have compassion, unquote, for Bell. He went on to say, at 14, she went on the internet and saw something about transsexuals. She thought, well, maybe that's what I am. She ended up getting these puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones. She had her breasts amputated. But here's what ultimately she says now, and this is a very insightful decision from someone who made a mistake but was led to believe this was a good thing by the medical community. Paul quotes Bell as saying, quote, I made a brash decision as a teenager, as a lot of teenagers do, trying to find confidence and happiness. Except now, the rest of my life will be negatively affected. Medicalized gender transitioning was a very temporary, superficial fix for a very complex identity issue, unquote. Paul then picks back up and repeats his concern that Levine won't unequivocally say that minors shouldn't be making their own decisions to amputate body parts and take cross-sex hormones. Senator Paul says, quote, for most of our history, we believe that minors don't have full rights and the parents need to be involved. So I'm alarmed that you won't say with certainty that minors should not have the ability to make the decision to take hormones that will affect them for the rest of their lives. Will you make a more firm decision on whether minors should be involved in these decisions? Unquote. Levine's response was as follows. Senator, transgender medicine is a very complex and nuanced field. If confirmed to the position of Assistant Secretary of Health, I would certainly be pleased to come to your office and talk with you and your staff about the standards of care. Unquote. So the answer to Paul's original question, then, is no. Levine does not think parents should have the authority to prevent their children from transitioning to the opposite sex. She should just say that, rather than trying to sidestep it with a cop-out that transgender medicine is very complex and nuanced. And now, a little bit of good news, folks. This is Lou adding a comment. It was reported April 7th that the Arkansas legislature overrode the veto Governor Hutchinson had cast against a law that would ban transgender surgery on young people under the age of 18. So that law is now in effect in Arkansas.
A little bit of sanity, Lou.
Yes, very definitely a little bit of sanity.
And we are going to have to make all of our voices heard at the local level, at your community gatherings. We cannot turn this world over to Satan. Whether we're living in Matthew 24 or not, God expects people, men and women, to stand in the gap. And is that what you have there, Lou, on
I'll just make one more comment myself. Many more parents across the United States should awaken and forcefully act to protect their own children from being chemically and or physically castrated by the sick, depraved agenda.
That's for sure. And, you know, now we're looking again at the cultural effects on Christianity and our culture. We are looking at the assaults. Last time we talked a good bit about the church house, judgment coming first to the church house, and we're looking now at the culture. We've talked about the women's magazines. We've talked about the blood in the shoe, and Nike disavowed being any part of it. We first heard they were part of it, but they say they were not part of it. And now, we also talked in the past about the series, the film documentary series, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. And I was wrong when I said they met to sell their souls at Route 12. I think it might have been Route 66. We're not sure, but it was at sort of a junction of routes that we heard a lot of these rock and roll figures did this. And so now we're looking, what's going on right now? Right now, what is the story on Netflix? It appears to be a key satanic cultural icon of the of destruction and deprivation. Let's look at its timeline, and we'll be going back eventually as far as the year 2019. First of all, here was the headline by Evan James, published December 18th. The devil working overtime? Netflix's Instagram posts, image, reading, praise Satan. Satanic temple billboards erected claiming, quote, abortion save lives. Satan has been busy throughout 2020, and it appears he is not letting up. Netflix recently received major backlash over a reference to Satan in one of their Instagram posts. The streaming giant posted a series of images intended to advertise their new LGBTQ comedy movie called The Prom, which is about, quote, a group of down-on-their-luck Broadway stars who shake up a small Indiana town as they rally behind a teen who just wants to attend prom with her girlfriend. Some of the depicted phrases in the post included, "Tis I," and "Cobra Kai never dies," which were made on ZazzGenerator.com. The caption of the post read, "Okay, I gave it some Zazz. Your turn, ZazzGenerator.com." One of those images, however, read, "Praise Satan." After widespread condemnation of the image, Netflix subsequently deleted the entire post. And in other devil-related news, a, quote, religious group called the Satanic Temple has advertised their, quote, religious abortion ritual, end of quote, on billboards in Texas and Florida. Quote, abortion save lives. Our religious abortion ritual averts many state restrictions, the billboards read. The Satanic Temple says the billboards are part of an effort to inform its members that they can undergo first trimester abortions upon demand in states that have enacted the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. One of their key tenets is an unshakable belief in bodily autonomy, so they regard all abortion restrictions as violating their religious freedom. Quote, we want our members to know that performing our religious abortion ritual means they do not have to fulfill regulations that require them to violate their religious beliefs when they have decided to terminate their pregnancy, said Sydney Goodwin, spokeswoman for the Satanic Temple's so-called reproductive rights campaigns, per the Houston Chronicle. Shockingly enough, the Satanic Temple is tax-exempt because the IRS has deemed them to be a, quote, church.
Starting in 2019, here's the rundown of more blasphemy and some of the devil's players. From Big League Politics, Gay Jesus Christmas Special featuring adulterous Virgin Mary. And this was on Netflix, naturally. This was published December 14th, 2019. Written by Shane Trejo. A new Christmas special that has debuted on Netflix, The First Temptation of Christ, depicts Jesus Christ as a homosexual and shows the Virgin Mary committing acts of adultery. This was produced by a Brazilian comedy group, Porta dos Fundos, which regularly blasphemes Christ under the pretenses of humor. Last Christmas, and that would have been 2018, they released The Last Hangover on Netflix, in which Jesus and his disciples went on a bender and committed all kinds of sinful acts. The plot for this new movie involves a 30-year-old Jesus bringing his homosexual lover home to meet Mary and Joseph for the holidays. Brazilians are outraged at Netflix for distributing this movie, and over 1.14 million Brazilians have signed a petition at change.org demanding for Netflix to drop the film. A review describes The First Temptation of Christ as follows. The setup is that Jesus, Gregorio Duvivier, attends his 30th birthday surprise party with his boyfriend Orlando, Fabio Porchat. The party thrown by Jose, Rafael Portugal, and Maria, Evelyn Castro, has a number of high-profile biblical guests, including God, played by Antonio Tibet, which prompts plenty of debate about parental rights and responsibilities as Christ grapples not just with his parentage, but with his own spiritual journey. Notable public figures and church leaders in Brazil are condemning the movie as well. Netflix has shown hostility toward Christians previously when they threatened to move their production operations out of Georgia because they passed a pro-life bill. Netflix announced that it is working with the American Civil Liberties Union to fight against Georgia's newest pro-life legislation. In a statement to Variety, Netflix Chief Content Officer Ted Sarandos claimed that, quote, we have many women working on productions in Georgia whose rights, along with millions of others, will be severely restricted by this law. It's why we will work with the ACLU and others to fight it in court, unquote. Numerous actors and film production companies have threatened to leave their projects based in Georgia in protest of this pro-life bill, which is set to go into effect in January. Sarandos told Variety that Netflix would, quote-unquote, rethink its current list of productions based in Georgia once the law becomes enforced. Netflix and the rest of the entertainment industry wants to snuff out Christian culture and replace it with sodomy, hedonism, and degeneracy.
That's so right, Lou. And this thing is going to spread and spread till there's nothing good left if we don't stand up and complain about things. You and I complained to the Hallmark Channel. We did not watch one of those movies, none of their movies. We couldn't turn it on this year. We just couldn't do it. We didn't want to see the LGBTQ movies. And now, as it further erodes our culture through the mainstream MSM, that thing that we mentioned earlier about ABC News, I do see that, quote, they have endorsed Satanism, saying this, twerking with the devil is beautiful and inspiring. And that was in reference to Lil Nas and his shoe. So we're now looking again at some more influences in the culture. Parade Magazine, March 21st, 2021. This featured an interview with the personality Michelle Obama. And this is what they had to say in Parade Magazine. The former First Lady, 57, continues her campaign for the well-being of children with waffles and Moki. Netflix. Oh, are we surprised? Lou, you and I remember a few years back when you were teaching in a large, sort of an urban high school, that Michelle had a lot to do with the school lunches, and the students really didn't go for them, did they?
No, they didn't particularly like the kind of diet they were put on.
No, supposedly under the name of good health, it was pretty unpalatable. So now she's back on Netflix with Waffles and Mochi. In the new series, an extension of her Let's Move program, two best friend puppets travel all over the world cooking up recipes with chefs, including Jose Andres, who runs a nonprofit that feeds people during natural disasters, home cooks, and celebrities using everyday healthy ingredients. Waffles and Moki's adventures include making pizza in Italy and visiting a potato farm in Peru and a kimchi festival in South Korea, that is. So here the interviewer asks, what's the goal with Waffles and Moki, or Mochi, I'm not really sure which? To help kids eat better and find more ways to get active. Kids aren't living in a vacuum, so we wanted to make sure that the show felt connected to their lives, even if they can't snap into a magical shopping cart. By including kids in the cooking, shopping, and gardening process, we help them become more confident, adventurous eaters. We can take the mystery out of what lands on their plates. And again, that seems to sum up pretty well how those high schoolers and other school children felt about the disappearance of some of their most valued foods. I don't believe there was ever a dessert that could hit them. Probably not. Do you?
I don't think so, no.
I don't think. Not one ounce of sugar would ever go on there. So Obama says, we make them feel invested in their meals rather than feeling like they're being told what to eat. We aren't so much a cooking show as we are an eating show. Why did you decide to appear as Mrs. Obama, the store owner, instead of having a puppet play that role? Mixing puppets with human characters, the real with the surreal, fosters a sense of wonder. It's part of what makes Sesame Street, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, and other classic shows so special. The idea that wacky things can happen in the places we go all the time. I think of my role as taking place in a parallel universe where I find myself owning a magic supermarket. Are you a foodie? Well, I like good food, so I guess I'm guilty. But here's the thing, I don't need every meal to be a perfectly planned masterpiece or some exotic fusion dish. If it tastes good, count me in. I love really good mac and cheese. Does that make me a foodie? Is waffles plus mochi just for kids, or will adults learn from it as well? While children are our core audience, adults will find a lot to like in here, too, from new clues for recipes, new ideas for recipes, to ways for kids to get enriched and excited about trying new dishes. One other lesson that we're applying is that you need to reach kids where they are. Don't try to fit them into your agenda. You've got to fit into theirs. I'm going to interrupt for a minute. Doesn't that sound like the rabid LGBTQ push? Parents aren't supposed to be able to keep their children, if they're under age 18, from going to have drastic puberty-stopping drugs and perhaps even genital mutilation or things cut off. They're not supposed to be able to interfere, because here's the mantra we're getting. We need to reach kids where they are. Don't try to fit them into your agenda. You've got to fit into theirs. And then Michelle Obama goes on to say that's where waffles and mochi come in. They're earnest, but not too saccharine. Funny, but not cynical. They're just the kind of friends you'd want your kids to invite over for a family dinner. Oh, it sounds so wholesome. You know, I think about my late mother. She didn't like the Waltons. She really did not like them. She said they're just too sickeningly sweet. And I'm getting that whiff there from this column and parade. And again, we ask the questions, are we living in Matthew 24? Let's really think about this culture around us. Lovely, gracious Melania Trump, first lady for 4 years, never was granted one woman's magazine's cover. That wonderful example of shining womanhood, Melania. She was the epitome of womanhood, but the elite persistently shunned her. She was too honest and her love of family too straight. Michelle Obama, often referred to as the first lady and featured on magazine after magazine for women, has perhaps just given a damage control interview here with Parade Magazine. With Michelle, there may be many layers of deception, so we'll look, too, at her earlier Netflix activities.
Let's just move the clock back to 6 months ago. Just as Mike Adams reported March 23rd that huge numbers of unescorted underage illegals are coming into the U.S., many being human trafficked for nefarious purposes of the elite, even in providing adrenochrome, blood, youth boost, transfusions, and worse. Here we see the underbelly of Netflix, not nearly as cute as Mookie and Waffles. No, the name was Cuties. Not cute. This was published on September 15, 2020, with the title, Michelle Obama's Influence Over Netflix Led to Release of Pro-Pedo Movie Cuties, by Shane Trejo. Netflix is under fire for distributing the pro-pedo flick Cuties over its streaming video service. The movie Cuties is about an 11-year-old girl who discovers her sexuality while twerking. Cuties has been described by its apologists as a triumph of diversity and womanhood. It should come as no surprise that this content is getting distributed, as former First Lady Michelle Obama is an influential producer with Netflix. Big League Politics reported 3 years ago on how the Obamas were using Netflix to distribute their political propaganda and promote their social agenda after leaving the White House. Former President Barack Obama is currently in advanced negotiations with Netflix to produce a series of shows through them. This will give the former president easy access into the living rooms of virtually every American in order to spread whatever propaganda he wants. The deal would pay both the former president and his wife, Michelle, to provide exclusive content to over 118 million Netflix subscribers around the world. It is unclear of the exact content that would be produced. But after looking at other content produced by Netflix, the shows being highly political wouldn't be surprising. After receiving massive investments totaling over $40 million from George Soros in 2015 and 2016, the content on the streaming service began to shift and include originally produced content with political agendas. One show released was titled Dear White People, and it was extremely racially charged, as the name implies. They also released a show featuring Katie Couric that explores, quote, gender identity, unquote, while at the same time editing a portion of an old episode of Bill Nye the Science Guy, where Nye makes the claim that there are only two genders. With former President Obama already going against the norm for other presidents by attacking the current president, which at the time, I'll insert, was, of course, Mr. Trump, it is clear that Obama is okay with getting divisively political. It would not be surprising to see his show used as a political weapon of the left. Making matters even worse, Russiagate villain and former National Security Advisor Susan Rice also sits on the Netflix board. It should come as no surprise that Michelle is completely silent with regard to cuties. Big League Politics has reported on how cuties is mainstreaming child pornography and the sexualization of kids. A Netflix film set to debut on September 9th will feature profile an 11-year-old girl who joins a twerking dance crew to, quote, explore her femininity. The film, called Cuties, will provide fodder for pedophiles and sexual deviants the world over. The description of the perverse movie reads as follows, quote, Amy, an 11-year-old girl, joins a group of dancers named the Cuties at school and rapidly grows aware of her burgeoning femininity, upsetting her mother and her values in the process, unquote. The trailer has already inspired a lot of rage from YouTube critics who are sick of the LGBT agenda to sexualize and exploit innocent children. Jeffrey Epstein would have loved this show, a user with the handle Mr. Obvious wrote in a comment. Another commented, quote, the premise is a dishonest one. One doesn't have to be remotely religious to want to forbid their 11-year-old daughter from twerking in scantily clad clothing. But they have to make the main character a victim of a religious upbringing so that opponents of this movie would be seen as religious zealots, commented another user about the trailer. This looks so disgusting. I felt like I'm already on an offenders list just watching this, user Junior Junior wrote in a comment. And wrote user Itchy Pop in a comment, quote, not even trying to hide the pedo rings anymore. Michelle and her husband represent the values of the third world, not the values of a Western Christian society.
And it goes on and on, Lou. Here's another article at Big League Politics by Shane Trejo. This time the date is September 11th. Oh, an inauspicious day. And this was 2020. Outright promotion of pedophilia. Whistleblower urges people to cancel Netflix for pushing child abuse. Whistleblower Lila Rose of Live Action. And by the way, she's doing a wonderful job to stand against abortion, if you don't know about her. Whistleblower Lila Rose of Live Action is really an advocate for children not being abused by things like the movie Cuties. And, of course, we mentioned before that Shane Trejo wrote this article in Big League Politics about this outright promotion of pedophilia. And the whistleblower urges people to cancel Netflix for pushing child abuse. And so Lila Rose said how inappropriate this was. It's evil. It's harmful to children. And an 11-year-old is a child. Legally, she is a child. She's prepubescent, and anyone sexualizing her, anyone treating her in a sexual way or taking sexual photos of her or creating a sexual film about her, that is a form of objectification and exploitation, she explained. The film's writer and director, French filmmaker Mamouna Doucouré, actually has the nerve to say that Cuties is about rejecting the sexualization of children. Doucouré can be seen commenting about her film here. However, IMDb's initial description of the movie describes, quote, highly sexualized and erotic dance scenes that purposefully exploit and objectify numerous scantily clad underage girls. The movie also apparently features, quote, female breast nudity of a minor during an erotic dance scene and lengthy and excessive close-up shots of breasts and spread crotches of 11-year-old girls during numerous sexualized dance scenes. Rose explains that Cuties is part of a broader agenda to mainstream pedophilia throughout the West. Pedophilia today, I think, is being normalized, Rose said, noting that there is a growing LGBT-friendly movement that says man-boy relationships should be normalized. What this film does is, it says that it is okay for people to gape at, to look at, to actually approve of, and even promote young girls acting in sexual ways at just 11, she continued. Big League Politics has reported about the academic movement that Rose has described to mainstream man-boy love that is capitalizing on the momentum of the LGBT rights movement. University of Texas at Austin professor Thomas Hubbard has been writing about the concept of pederastic intimacy in an attempt to rationalize child rape. Hubbard has written that pederasty, or sexual relations between a man and a boy, was a, quote, prominent social phenomenon in numerous ancient Greek cultures, end of quote. He claims that, quote, contemporary American legislation premised on children's incapacity to consent to sexual relations stems from outmoded gender constructions and ideological preoccupations of the late Victorian and progressive era. His 22-page article, published in the academic journal Thymus, is entitled Sexual Consent and the Adolescent Male, or What We Can Learn from the Greeks. It is little more than a thinly veiled argument to legalize pedophilia and enable the victimization of young children. He believes in lowering the age of consent first degrees the slippery slope toward the legalization of pedophilia. He says that America, quote, should consider moving in the direction of what most European states do, which is to maintain an age of consent of 14 or 15. A student also claims that Hubbard made them, quote, write a paper over lowering the age of consent and lowering the punishment for sexually assaulting a child under the age of 6. End of quote. Hubbard has been published by the North American Man Boy Love Association, NAMBLA, an explicitly pro-pedophilia group. A spokesman for UT at Austin stands by Hubbard, claiming that, quote, the study of controversial and even offensive ideas is protected by the First Amendment, as is the right of others to strongly disagree with and draw attention to those ideas. Would the same standards that apply to pro-pedo scholarship still apply if a professor published controversial opinions on race, IQ, immigration, climate change, or an issue that leftists do not approve of? Probably not. The moral panic that is growing against the mainstreaming of pedophilia is more than justified.
Now, from Big League Politics, federal prosecutors allege that Netflix star who campaigned for Biden assaulted 15-year-old boy in public restroom. Sick stuff. This is by Richard Moorhead, October 13, 2020. Federal prosecutors are alleging that a Netflix star who campaigned for Joe Biden committed a multitude of sex crimes against underage boys. In one incident, assaulting a 15-year-old boy in a public bathroom. Jerry Harris is being charged with assaulting 10 boys, and prosecutors are arguing that he, quote, exhibits all the signs of a serial child predator, unquote, who either, quote, wanted to be caught, or he simply cannot control his impulses, unquote. Harris is most well known for his appearance in Netflix's Cheer documentary about competitive cheerleading. He recently appeared in a digital campaign event with Joe Biden, in which the Democratic candidate asked for his support in turning out young voters in the November election. Harris was arrested and charged last month with producing child pornography. Following a federal investigation and new charging documents in his case, accusing him of even more child sex crimes. A Tuesday memo from Assistant U.S. Attorney Christopher Parent states that Harris has admitted to sodomizing and raping a 15-year-old child during conversations with law enforcement, and that authorities are currently evaluating further criminal charges against him. Parent argued Tuesday for a magistrate judge to revoke Harris's home detention as he awaits trial on the child pornography charges, stating that home confinement is, quote, simply not enough to protect the community from this child predator, unquote. Harris, who allegedly requested and procured sexual images from at least 9 minors through Snapchat, is being sued by 2 alleged victims in civil court for damages. Harris's arrest on child sex crimes charges comes weeks after Netflix released the film Cuties, which features minors dancing in a sexually charged manner. The streaming giant has denied that the film is obscene and indecent, even after a county in Texas indicted the company for obscenity in publishing the film. And now, we have an article entitled, Two Stars of Netflix Show Cheer Are Charged with Pedophilia-Related Offenses. This is by Shane Trejo, February 9, 2021. Two stars of the pro-LGBT Netflix show Cheer are being charged with pedophilia-related offenses. One of the stars of the show was hit with child pornography charges. Navarro College Cheer team member Mitchell Ryan, 23, was arrested outside of Dallas and charged with aggravated sexual assault of a child last week. He is currently out on bond awaiting trial. Coach and choreographer Robert Joseph Sciana, Jr., 25, was arrested for, quote, use of an electronic communication device to solicit sex, unquote, and was hit with additional charges for indecency with a child. The Chesterfield County, Virginia Police Department said about Sienna's arrest, quote, the investigation indicates that Sienna met a juvenile male through a social media platform and arranged to meet the juvenile for sex, unquote. Both Ryan and Sienna have been featured on the Netflix reality television show Cheer, which profiled cheerleaders at Navarro College. The show was meant to be an inspirational pro-LGBT story of courage and triumph. But as is often the case, a bunch of those supposed heroes were hit with sex crime charges. It seems that the entertainment industry, which has always been a haven for predators, is trying to mainstream pederasty. This is the type of social or societal decadence typically experienced during the collapse of a civilization.
Where are the pastors' voices in all this, Lou?
Silent. I don't know.
And now, someone who isn't silent is the website of 1 Million Moms, and here we have a Pantene ad starring young transgender girl causes backlash. And I saw this photo, and it gave me the willies because these two moms, these actually not real moms, I guess, but they're lesbians, and they're peering at the girl in the middle. And you pointed out to me, Lou, that she didn't look any older than an eighth grader, you thought.
I thought if she's having taught school,
ninth.
I can judge pretty well. And no, she doesn't look any older than eighth grade, maybe younger.
And these women are looking at her with vulture eyes and the creepiest smile you ever saw. Pantene, in this article, I'm not sure where we got this article, frankly, but it's there. Pantene just released an online commercial that has resulted in backlash from Christians and non-Christians alike. Sawyer, a transgender girl, and Sawyer's two moms are featured in the latest Pantene ad, which glamorizes the LGBTQ lifestyle. Just be yourself and don't let anybody tell you who you are is one of the extremely misleading taglines from the new Pantene ad. A feel-good nod to those who falsely believe gender can be chosen. The tagline, sadly, goes against the biblical truth that God created us and decided who we were before forming us in our mother's wombs. The commercial is narrated almost entirely by one mom, as the other mom quietly sits beside her with a few added lines from Sawyer. But do not be deceived. Notice some of the misleading wording used within the ad to normalize the LGBTQ lifestyle. Opening tagline for LGBTQ kids: hair is more than how you look, it's how you're seen. Sawyer has always been super gender creative, and hair has been a big part of her transition. Once she told us that she identified as a girl, she immediately wanted to grow her hair out. Sawyer said, "It made me feel good and confident, and it made my insides match my outsides." This was a kid who knew who she was from such a young age. So I'm always telling Sawyer to never hide who she is. Always be herself. Never be afraid to step out and exist as the person that she is. Sawyer states, "My advice is just be yourself and don't let anybody tell you who you are." Closing tagline, those who make us feel seen make us feel loved. Final logo, Pantene Family is beautiful, LGBTQ proud to support transgender visibility. Procter & Gamble, Pantene's parent company, also owns several other lines of products that conservatives should avoid purchasing and supporting. This ad is not the first time P&G has pushed the LGBTQ agenda in their commercials. And I have to point out, way back in the 70s, I heard about the scandal that supposedly there were hidden satanic symbols in Procter & Gamble products. So, you know, we had a timeline there for Netflix, but I think there's a longer timeline, possibly, for Procter & Gamble. The article says, in fact, 1 million moms has launched campaigns. I believe this site must have come from 1 million moms, this article. Anyway, say they have launched campaigns and voiced our concern in the past regarding P&G's transgender Gillette ad for Father's Day, as well as their lesbian Head and Shoulders ad for prom. But instead of ditching its politically charged messages, P&G, that's Procter & Gamble, took their message to an even deeper level with this transgender Pantene ad. So let this serve as a warning from 1 million moms to P&G customers that do not want to support ideology that pediatricians actually call child abuse. We wanted to let you know that once again, P&G decided to cater to homosexuals and their sinful lifestyle choice. And since a portion of each sale goes to help finance P&G's social agenda that has nothing to do with hair care products, it's time to find another family-friendly brand and product line. After all, there are plenty of hair care products on the market for moms to buy for their families that do not support liberal causes. We have a choice. And this is Elizabeth, the article then says Pantene needs to hear from you. Some of this evil plan of Satan to destroy children's lives is right out in plain sight. Lou, just how bad is the situation for the children being brought in at the borders?
Well, Fox News, and I must admit I didn't see it with my own eyes, but it certainly sounded very convincing on the audio that I had in my automobile. A little boy was abandoned by these cutthroat, you know, inhuman people that transport the victims across the border.
And for a lot of it, it's human trafficking.
Oh, yes, it is.
And
well,
to the elite
boy,
for that adrenochrome, for child sacrifice, God only knows what. Yes, go ahead, quickly.
Yes, that's right. And this little boy had been abandoned. And luckily, the American police down there, or the agencies involved, found him. And he was crying, and a little boy from the sound of his voice. I don't know the exact age, but they rescued him.
Good, and God saved one life. Now,
yes,
let's pick up this whole hideous story.
All right, next we have this headline. Biden's open border policies generate $14 million a day for human traffickers. This is by Ethan Huff, Natural News, Thursday, March 25th. The Biden regime's welcome to the United States policy for illegal aliens is generating about $14 million per day for human traffickers, many of which are smuggling in underage children for the deep state. We have to add, and this is Lou speaking, that Mike Adams on March 29th and in earlier updates discussed the grotesque evil of the deep state elite globalists using thousands of children, some for satanic ritual torture or sacrifice, some for their blood. Apparently, some twisted elite need the adrenochrome from children's blood. Maybe they can rejuvenate themselves with this abomination until one day they burn in hell. Sources within the United States Border Patrol say that China Joe's illicit immigration policies are a cash cow for the human trafficking industry, which is seeing a major boost in activity and revenues now that President Donald Trump is no longer in the White House, says just-retired Tucson Border Patrol Chief Roy Villarreal, who worked with the agency for 30 years, quote, trafficking is a multi-billion dollar industry. That's a billion with a B. A lot of these vulnerable populations use their life savings. Some are essentially indentured servants, and they're working off this debt for a long period of time. In other cases, some of these migrants are asked to transport narcotics or some form of crime to work off a different part of that debt, unquote. Just last week, Beijing Biden awarded an $86 million contract for hotel rooms to house some 1,200 migrant families as Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE facilities, as also known as cages during the Trump years, are overflowing and well past capacity. Reported Fox News about the crisis, quote, additional costs will include overtime and hotel costs for the hundreds of agents reassigned to Texas from other areas. And we have a quote here for context. In 2019, Congress appropriated an extra $4.6 billion to handle a similar migrant surge. In 2014, Congress gave President Obama an extra $2.7 billion to deal with his border crisis. And now more details from Ethan Huff's article. Not only is Biden keeping kids in cages, he's also allowing them to be smuggled for exploitation. The situation at America's southern border became exponentially worse after Trippy Joe called for a migrant surge, which he now denies of having done. We'll give China Joe the benefit of the doubt and just assume that his advancing late-stage dementia caused him to forget. Forgetting, or pretending that it never happened, though, does not let Dementia Joe off the hook for exacerbating an already out-of-control problem that has real-life repercussions for the tens of millions of law-abiding Americans who will now be forced to feed, house, and care for all these migrants via their tax dollars. As for the human trafficking component of Hunter's dad's little trafficking operation, smugglers are reportedly paid a portion of funds up front, the rest of which is paid over time. These initial funds cover the cost of food, shelter, transportation, and a coyote guide to bring trafficked slaves across the border. A recent incident involving an SUV that crashed into a semi-truck near the border, which killed 13 migrants, is one example of this operation in action. Illegal aliens were being smuggled for cash, and the Biden regime's policies made it all possible, said El Centro Sector Chief Patrol Agent Gregory Bovino in a news conference, quote, we pray for the accident victims and their families during this difficult time, unquote. And he added that the deceased individuals were believed to have been part of a larger group of 44 migrants who were smuggled through a fence near Calexico, a California border town. Quote, initial investigation into the origins of the vehicles indicate a potential nexus to the aforementioned breach in this border wall, Bovina added, further stating that human smugglers have proven time and again that they have little regard for human life, unquote. And this is Lou. Just one video shot I saw of a Texas street showed what I would estimate to be at least 500 illegals just flooding right in.
And, of course, we will be getting into more of this next week on our program. The Border Patrol agent who blew the whistle on the inhumane conditions in the overcrowded migrant facility in South Texas. So, you know, many of these family unit holding cells smell like vomit and urine. Fights are there, sexual assault between the migrants. Any diseases that are in there, it's being kept in there like a petri dish, said Carlos. And that was the whistleblower. The smell is overwhelming. So, you see, we are bringing you hard-hitting information so that you can stand in the gap, so that you can protect your family members. We didn't mention COVID deaths tonight, but we heard late-breaking news. There was now a teenager, I think he was 18, who got the Guillain-Barré syndrome. Did he die, Lou? After the COVID shot?
I'm not aware that it even said anything about that.
And we know now there were about, I believe, was this, can you tell me where this was? 264 people, was it Detroit?
But yes.
There were 264 people who got the COVID shots and then tested positive for COVID a little later on, and three of them died. So something is going on. That at least it appears to be the fact that the COVID vaccinations are not effective. They're not really giving immunity. So no wonder Fauci harps that we better keep wearing the masks even after we're vaccinated. There's so much danger everywhere. Even the toilet paper, I've known this for some time, for some years. At times it appears to be toxic. And we got a batch of that just lately. And the chemical is so bad, you cannot help to smell it. You can't keep from smelling this, and it stings your hands. Now, what in the world is in that? And at the same time, I took some other toilet paper out from a few weeks back. It wasn't like that at all. What's going on? The military had their food kind of poisoned, I think. They were sick. We wonder what will happen when our Olympic stars go to Beijing. I don't know. We need lots of prayer to God Almighty, and He will protect His own. He showed us a little old robin that we've seen here for a couple years. We didn't know whether it had lived over the winter and came back, and there I looked out the other day, and it was sitting on our back steps singing, and it had that gray around its eye that Lou had noted. He knew it was an old robin. And I believe truly God was saying, I will take care of you even in the sunset years if you are faithful to me, if you take a stand. So will you take a stand? Will you tell others to visit our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com? Will you pray for our program, its protection and provision? It's interfered with because we do not want pederasty to be the normal thing in the United States of America. God bless you. Good night.